You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to Jamie D and Big Newt. Thanks for joining us for a maiden voyage here. I'm Jamie D'Amico. He's Big Chris Newton. And you know what? You may have heard me on Believe, a Bills fan podcast with John Boccacino. And we're so happy to be joined by Big Chris, the Newt, as they call him. Let me introduce you a little bit. He was an all-state football player in high school. He played college football. He played in the Arena League. Big Newt, thanks for joining me, man.
Hey, man, thanks for having me again. I'm glad we're going to get a chance to finally put our voices on the air and have our opinions heard by all of Buffalo Nation, man. I'm so excited.
This is really cool because, you know, you and I have been watching the Bills together for, God, what, 14 years?
At least, yeah. When I moved to Virginia, it was, what, like 07? So
it sounds about right.
Yeah.
So going on 13 years now, we ended up here in Washington, D.C., the D.C. Bills backers. And the better I got to know you, the more I realized that you were absolutely magnetic and everybody wanted to be your best friend. And when podcasting became a thing, my very first thought was, this guy needs a podcast. So here we are. And actually, on the agenda for today, we're talking about training camp battles. And we're also going to talk about what the Bills front office has to do in order to set themselves up for salary cap success next year, because it's going to be a little different next year. But hey, man, glad to have you, Newt.
And I'm going to tell you what, man, when we used to be at McFadden's, you said everybody wanted to be around me, man. It wasn't like that at the beginning. You know, I moved from Florida and I came up. I didn't know anybody. I just looked on the website and they said that McFadden's in down by Georgetown was the official Buffalo Bills bar. So I show up and it's just like any other year. I'm sure a lot of you all go to Bills bars and part of, Bills Mafia. And so you go to the bar and there's hundreds of people there the first couple of weeks. And then as we lose, it slowly dwindles down. So then you look at the pictures. I got pictures of when I first went there. And then when it came down to us and, you know, and all of us, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like 10 of us left the bar. And so we all migrated to the same area. And that's how we became friends.
That's an excellent point. And I don't know what you're saying about people not liking you at first. Now, maybe it's because you're the largest person there. That's entirely possible. But it makes you warm and cuddly. So, hey.
Hey, I want to say something real quick, man. Hey, I'm a little less love now, man. Over the quarantine, man, you know, my wife and I, we've been doing the keto diet, and I actually dropped 35 pounds, man. So it's a little less to love. So
good for you, man. That's an accomplishment right there.
Well, I'm getting there, man. You know, I was hovering around 450. Now I'm about 415 now. So my goal is to get into the threes, you know, before school starts for the kids. That's our goal.
Excellent. Keep working on it, man. And I'm trying to put on muscle, maybe get myself up to like 165, 170.
Hey, there it is.
The funny thing is, neither of us are lying about that. The one thing our listeners have never seen necessarily, unless they watch the games with us, is after Bill's touchdown, Big Newt here grabbing me like a toddler and throwing me up in the air above his head and shaking me around. It's a sight. If anybody listening has a picture of that, tweet it to us. I'm at the Jamie D'Amico and you're at, tell us.
Big underscore Newt.
Yep. So Let's digress and start talking more about the Bills than our own friendship here, because I'm sure people don't want to hear too much about that.
I got you.
But we've got some battles going on here, right? And
yes,
the one they've been talking about a lot lately, Zach Moss and Devin Singletary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Brandon Bean says that it's Motor's job no matter what. What do you make of that?
I believe him. Devin Singletary, you know, I think he's more Barry Sanders like. His yards per carry was outstanding, and now we have an opportunity, now that Frank Gore is gone, to give the ball in his hands more often, not only out of the backfield, but in rushing plays, but also in the passing game too. Zach Moss will be a younger complement once again. Kind of like Thunder and Lightning, what we wanted to have with Frank Gore. And it started well last year, but then as the season went on, I think he kind of wore down. So now we got a young Frank Gore type, you know, power back that could get those tough yards up the middle. And then we got the scat back, kind of do it all guy, Devin Singletary. So I don't think that it's a battle per se. I think that's going to be our 1-2.
So you think that. Do you think that Singletary is fast enough that we can refer to him as Lightning, though? I mean, he's got quick side-to-side movement, but, yes. You know, the straight line speed certainly isn't there.
I think he's quick. And in pro football, I think that's more important than straight line speed, or just as important, excuse me. I think he'll be able to do the job. And once again, we're not trying to overload him. We're not going to try to give him the ball 30 times a game. I mean – I think with his touches, I mean, I think if he could keep that yards per carry up like he did last year, I think it'll be wonderful, man. And then Zach Moss could come in and be the bruiser. So I think it'll work out. That'll be a good 1-2 punch. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
And I like the way the Bills set it up where, you know, they make rookies earn their place on the field. They don't hand them anything. And I like that. And I think the veterans on the team appreciate that too.
Especially this year, because we don't have any preseason. Only person I could really see getting, you know, a lot of time is AJ Espinosa and Zach Moss. And I'm sure we're going to get to all the positions, but without the training camps and without OTAs and without preseason football, man, it's going to be tough sledding for a lot of the young guys, especially, you know, the rookies and then the undrafted guys.
I agree. I think the teams that are bringing in a lot more young players this year we're going to see sloppy football at the beginning of the year. I don't think there's any way around it.
Oh, yeah.
And the young guys, especially the ones that aren't familiar with the system, next thing you know, they're going to be running the wrong route or, you know, going after the wrong blocking assignment. And, you know, at least on offense, your quarterback's not going to be too happy when that happens.
Right. I totally agree. It's probably going to be sloppy. And I think the advantage will definitely go to the more veteran teams, the people who have the same offensive coordinators and the same quarterbacks. And you're not trying to integrate too many new pieces.
So do you think there's anything Singletary could do to lose the job, or is there anything Moss could do to win it out of camp, despite Bean saying that it's Singletary's?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anything's possible, but I mean, I don't see it. Devin Singletary, man, he was very good last season. A few times. I mean, I remember us talking about all the time. We were screaming, give the ball to Singletary when he was trying to force feed Frank Gore and trying to get TJ Yeldon in the game and all that stuff, man. Just give it to the guy, man. And once again, he's going to be a sophomore running back. So hopefully Dave will draw up new wrinkles and new plays and get that guy out in space, man. Because laterally, man, he reminds me a lot of Barry Sanders, man. I tell you, he might get ran down in the open field, but he's going to get to the open field. Because there was a lot of times a regular back would have got hit for losses, and he made it a plus gain. So,
yeah, he breaks faith. Ankles.
Oh, yeah. And that's important, man, especially when your offensive line graded out like ours. And we discussed that with our last podcast, grading the offensive line. So
I don't think they're going to take it away from Singletary. But what would Moss have to do to prove to the coaches that he's the one who should be getting the lion's share of the carries?
I mean, if he gets more yards per carry, I mean, if he makes the offensive line better than Singletary. If he pass protection, pass pro, that's important. Because a lot of times Frank Gore got in the game, that's what he was in the game for. You know, so if Moss could prove that he's a better pass protector than Singletary, maybe that'll get him more touches. So, but definitely to start off, once again, without preseason football, we can't evaluate those things. So they're only evaluating when they're scrimmaging each other. So we're not privy to all that information. I mean, we have some of it. I don't know if you watched NFL Network today, but they were at Bills camp and you know, they were talking about the Bills, but I mean, I don't think he gave away a lot. So if he can show that he could do those things, I can see him taking the number one. But I think both of them are going to get plenty of carries this year.
Yeah. Singletary is not infallible. I mean, the guy he's not good as a blocker, which is obviously a necessity, especially on third downs. And his fumble rate is 2.2%, which is the highest of anybody with regular carries in the NFL. So, I mean, if he's fumbling a lot in training camp, you're definitely going to see the ball handed to Moss more frequently. In fact, a couple days ago, Singletary fumbled and was basically benched the rest of practice. So, hope he learns his lesson.
I hope so, man. I remember last year, man, it was times we were screaming about it. You had to take him out, man. I mean, so that's definitely something to keep an eye on.
So, shifting gears, let's go to cornerback, where we've got Josh Norman, who recently got injured with a hamstring, and Levi Wallace. How do you see that shaping up right now?
We brought Josh in to play. The fact that he's missing reps right now, it hurts him. So we need to – I would say we're going to probably go into it with Levi Wallace, the other side of T. White at this point. And then I'm hearing Cam Lewis is looking good. So Josh Norman's going to have he's going to have some work to do to get in that rotation once he gets back healthy. It's hard, man, right now. Once again, I can't say it enough, man. The fact that we missed a lot of time, and you got to realize something, Jamie. I mean, opening day is less than 3 weeks away, you know?
Oh, my God.
I know it don't feel like it. People ain't talking about it. People talking about the NBA bubble down in Florida. But, I mean, we're talking less than 3 weeks, you know. So, I mean, he got an uphill battle at this point, man, missing those reps, man, because every rep right now is invaluable.
Right. And his experience is going to help with that. You know, he's played in the system before. He's been in the league for a long time. He's played at a high level. But I have to agree with you. And it sounded like his play had been a little bit up and down to this point where, you know, he was getting beat now and then. He was also intercepting passes. Now, that's one of the things he does really well. He's got incredible hands. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you don't want to hear about your number two guy getting beat regularly. And maybe they were just paying more attention. The media was paying more attention because he's the new guy and he's the name. But that remains to be seen how that's going to shake out. But, yeah, I think Levi Wallace might, you know, because he's on the field, it gives him a leg up right now. Now,
man, the number one ability is availability, man. Old adage. So you got to be out there getting those reps, man.
So that brings me over to one more position battle that I'm a little bit curious about, and that's all of the people vying for the right-hand side of the offensive line. Okay. So you've got a bunch of names going in there. You've got Darrell Williams, Cody Ford, Ty Nsekhe, Brian Williams, John Feliciano is out with an injury, but he's in there. You've got Bame. You've got Ryan Bates, Ike Betker. There's a lot of people that are vying for playing time, and this is after they traded Spencer Long. What's going on there? How is this shaking out right now?
Well, right now, if we had to play tomorrow, I think Cody Ford would be at the right tackle. Brian Winters, the new acquisition from the Jets, he'd be a guard. And, of course, Mitch Morris is center, Quinn Spain at left guard, and then newly paid Deion Dawkins at the left tackle. Brian Winters, and I don't know if you saw the clip of AJ He mauled Winters. And I know as a former football player, that's going to happen, and he's probably embarrassed. I mean, you know, it's like Dikembe Mutombo. He blocked a lot of shots in his NBA group, but he got dunked on a couple times. So yep. I was always the person that always said, you know, if you're a tooth chipper, sometimes you're going to get your chipped tooth. And he definitely got his chipped tooth. So if you haven't seen that clip yet, I retweeted it. Go to my Twitter at @big_new and you'll see it, man. I mean, AJ just mauls him in a one-on-one drill. Oh, my God.
So some people are saying that Winters got his foot kind of tangled up with the person playing next to him, his right tackle. Does that make a difference?
Of course that makes a difference. You trip over somebody's feet, man. Yeah, I mean, but I didn't see that. I mean, it just looked like he just hauled off and got him. But, I mean, yeah, you get your feet tangled up there all the time, especially in the interior, man. So, you know, hopefully that's not indicative of – his whole career here, but I mean, hey, welcome to Buffalo, man.
Right. So I've recently been reading that the combination of Cody Ford at right guard and Darrell Williams at right tackle has been outstanding recently, especially in run blocking. And they're saying that Darrell Williams is looking like his feet are much quicker than they were last year in Carolina. Now, he was coming off a pretty big injury last year, and it affected him quite a bit. But we're talking about a former second-team All-Pro. How would you feel if the starting right side was Ford at guard, Williams at tackle?
I'd say I'll be happy. If he could recapture his anything half of his career where he had at Carolina, let's do it.
Right.
And once again, we're not privy to see all the practicing and all the reps, but if they decide that that's the best combination, man, I trust it, man. I would love to see it. So let's do it.
And, you know, something I've been thinking about is kind of the human side of training camp. It's something that I always think about. Now, you've been there. What is it like when you've got somebody in the same room as you that's trying to take your job? You know, when they're speaking to the media, they all say the right things, but I can't imagine that they could possibly mean those things.
Well, I always thought that you got to have a certain maturity level. You're going to be a pro, but do you want your opportunity? Of course you do. You don't want to see anybody get hurt. But if they do get hurt, I mean, you're warming up and you're getting in there. So I don't think people wish ill will on people, but they're not that sad once they get to play. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah. And I mean, is everybody going to be like Brett Favre was to Aaron Rodgers? You know what I'm saying? And not.
Oh, right. He was a dick.
Right. And it's funny that not Aaron Rodgers has to do it to the young rookie. You know what I'm saying? So,
and you know Aaron Rodgers is going to be a complete ass.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's funny how that goes around. But, yeah, I would just describe it as, you know, on the low end of it, you might just be kind of cold to the person and not really want to help them. But then you have people like Fitzpatrick, who I heard he's been taken to a tongue of a lawyer vote. I'm getting tired.
I can't say it.
Yeah. Tagovailoa. And he's taking him under his wing and mentoring him. But that's what Fitz does. You know what I'm saying? You know, he's the old Wiley veteran. He's paid to be another coach. And when you do that, man, you last longer in the league. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if you see superstar, like, and once again, this is a basketball reference. Vince Carter has lasted over 20 years in the league because he's a great teammate and he's like a teacher, a coach, along with staying in great shape and help you on the court. Now, in contrast to that, Allen Iverson, okay, and I love Allen Iverson. I don't want people to think I'm dumping on him because he's one of my favorite players of all time. He went from like a superstar to out the league in like two or three years.
And it was incredible.
Yeah, and so when people don't realize, hey, I'm not quite what I used to be, I'm not a superstar no more, now I'm just a starter. Or now I was a starter, now I'm a role guy. How you handle that and your professionalism and how you help in other areas will also dictate the rest of your career in that league. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. I knew once T.O. started falling off and Ocho Cinco, once they lose a step, I knew they were going to be out the league. You know what I'm saying?
Because they can't be good teammates.
Right. You got to be a great teammate unless you're a megastar. And I think some of that is like also is like with Cam Newton. Like Cam Newton, I think some of it is the injuries. I think some of it is the COVID. We couldn't work you out. We couldn't test you. But I think it's some of that too, man. You know, if you're going to be loud, boisterous, you Instagram and you talking trash, you better be an MVP type guy. And that's why I think he stayed on the open market for so long. So I think some of those things got to do with it too.
And how many guys don't realize when they're slowing down?
People don't. People don't, right, man. I mean, hey, we all deal with it, man. Hey, I look at myself, man. I look at myself in high school, man. I was all buffed up, ripped up. Then in college, I was 260 buff. Now I'm 400. And I'm looking at myself like, man, I'm not that guy no more. So it's a certain humbleness. But I don't know if you ever go to your class reunions. You got girls. Come on, man. We all seen it, man. The hot girl in high school. Now 4 kids later, you know, she ain't what she was. And she like, why? She looking at you like, hey, you looking like, hey, and she going for a hug. You stick out that hand because you don't want to get a hug. Yeah, I mean, she don't realize that, she don't realize that she ain't what she was. And once again, I'm not knocking women because, hey, I'm the same way, dude. You go on my Instagram, I post pictures all the time. When I played, I was buff, ripped. I could go to the beach, take my shirt off. Now, I wouldn't even dare do that to you by taking my shirt off. So we all go through it. It says I'm humble enough and I have enough self-actualization to know that I'm not what I was in 1995.
It almost sounded like you said sexual, but you said self-actualization.
Man. Self-actualization, man. Some people got it. Some people don't.
Hey, man, you're still a big sexy.
Well, my wife likes it, so as long as she's happy, I mean, I'm good, man. I'm a happy man.
And your wife is fine.
Well, thanks, man. That's very kind.
Well,
are you checking out my wife, man?
No.
I'm joking, man. I got you. I appreciate it, man.
Oh, by the way, I've got a story to tell you from this past weekend, which has nothing to do with the current Buffalo Bills. I was driving down the street yesterday, and there was a group of people that were just kind of gathered around on a sidewalk. And I'm seeing this jersey, and I'm like, that's a Bills jersey. But the numbers not coming to mind. And I got up and drove past the dude, and he was standing with his back to the road. It was a Percy Harvin jersey.
What?
I know. I've never seen one of those before.
Where were you at? You were in D.C.?
I was in D.C., yeah.
Well, you know, it might have been him. You know he's from Maryland.
Really?
Yeah. I think I'm almost sure Percy Harvin's from Maryland.
You think that. Percy Harvin's walking around wearing his old Buffalo Bills jersey?
That happens, man. When I was in the Pro Bowl, man, those guys was walking around with their jerseys on. I thought that was a little weird, but to each his own.
wait a minute. They were like walking around town wearing their jerseys?
Yes.
That's very odd.
Yeah. Not everybody, but it was a couple of people doing it. So I thought that was different. So, yes, some people would do it.
Did you see the 30 for 30 about the Dream Team?
Yes. Loved it.
It was fantastic. But they were talking about how the players were getting mobbed everywhere they went, except for John Stockton.
Right.
And they showed him going up to a woman that was wearing one of those t-shirts that had caricatures of all the players on the team.
Yep.
And he was speaking right to the woman, and she had no idea.
Yeah. And I tell you, man, that's wonderful, man. That's what you want, if anything, you know.
Right.
That's what you want. I mean.
So he was the only one walking around with his family, yet here's these guys at the Pro Bowl that are wearing their jerseys so everybody recognizes them.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would do that.
Because you want we could do a whole episode about that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you. Like we always used to say, man, like if you're a running back, quarterback, receiver, like you can't turn it off. Where if you're an offensive line, a defensive line, you could turn it on and turn it off to suit you and how you want to do it. Like getting in the clubs. You know what I'm saying? You be like, hey, I'm such and such, such and such. Oh, yeah. What's up, man? Come on in. But you go in there, you could talk to a girl. I'm such and such. Tell them who you are. Whoop de woo. And good. But if it's somebody like Josh Allen probably can't go anywhere.
Especially no, he'd like get mobbed.
He'll get mobbed. You know what I'm saying? But a lineman, you know, like
Deion I'm sure Quentin Spain can go wherever he wants.
Exactly. Exactly. And he could turn it on and turn it off to his liking. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, I never played football. I only played like summer league and rec sports. But I did play in a band when I was in college, a couple of them actually. And it's funny, you mentioned the quarterback, running back, receiver, and it reminds me an awful lot of the guitarist and the lead singer, whereas I was playing the drums behind the drum kit and people, you know, could barely see me as it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I was walking around going, don't you know I'm in a band? I'm cool, right?
Exactly, man. Especially when you was out there running around trying to get girls' numbers and stuff, man. I feel you.
Yeah, didn't work very well.
Yeah, and Percy Harvin is from this area. He's from Virginia. I say Maryland. So he is from
Okay. It could have at minimum been one of his family members.
Yep, that's true. That's true. But you had that jerk, you probably got to know him. If it's either him or you got to know him, a cousin, a brother, an uncle, something.
Yeah. So let's get back to the topic at hand here. Now, we're going to talk about the Bills' salary cap situation both this year and next year because cap savings from this year roll into next year.
Right.
And the Bills are about $23 million under the cap this year, and once rolled over, it gets the salary cap to right around $175 million, you know, within about a half mil of that. And next year, because of the COVID, they're expecting the revenues to drop, which means the salary cap is going to drop to no lower than $175 million. So that becomes a problem because that means If it stays at that number, that means the Buffalo Bills don't have any wiggle room to sign any new free agents or even sign their draft picks because you need about $4 million set aside just to sign your draft picks. So what the Bills do this year is going to have a huge effect on next year's cap because they can any savings they have this year, they can roll over. So they can add savings to this year.
Right.
So my first question to you is, how they go about that is going to entirely be in line with what they think from a management perspective they've got this year. So do they think they're a year away from being a contender or are they going for it?
I think they're going for it, and I think you're going to see that in a few weeks or at least this season in how we handle Trent Murphy.
Yep.
Once again, we got the young rookie biting at his heels, and I like our D-line rotation. Can we go on the season with A.J., Mario Addison, and then Jerry Hughes and let Trent Murphy go? We could probably make – and then Mike Love and Vincent Taylor, we could probably make that work. But Trent Murphy had some good games last year. You know what I'm saying?
And so, a few.
He had a couple. So, and from what I heard he's looking sprightly in his steps. I mean, I heard that he's looking good out there. So, I think that if we keep him, that's letting the fan base know that, hey, we're trying to win and we'll take this. What did he make, like $6, $7 million?
He's going to make over $9 million this year, and it's a salary cap hit of $8 million.
Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. So almost $10 million. So that lets you know that, hey, we're trying to win now. You know what I'm saying?
If they make that decision, I mean, that's the management that's coming from Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, Terry Pegula. When it comes to the front office decisions, do you trust them, particularly Brandon Bean? Do you trust them making those decisions?
Hey, Jamie, man, if you was here in Richmond, man, I think I'd choke you right now.
Why?
How dare you question Brandon Bean? How dare you? This man, when it comes to making decisions these first couple of years, he's above reproach. How dare you question him? He's like Chick-fil-A. He's like Chick-fil-A.
How?
You ever go to Chick-fil-A, James?
Yeah, a few times.
Okay. When you go there, do you ever have to check your bag?
No.
No, you don't check your bag. You know why? If they made a mistake, then that's what you were supposed to have.
What?
Okay? Do you understand?
No.
That's how Brandon Bean is. I don't question that man because everything he's done is almost 9 times out of 10 turned to gold. You understand? So, no, if he decides to keep Trent Murphy, then we supposed to have Trent Murphy. I'm not worried about the salary cap because I know they got it under control. You know, at first, like, let me give you an example.
Okay.
I was skeptical when we didn't re-sign Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson. But then you add Mario, okay? You add Vernon Butler. You add Quentin Jefferson, right?
Yeah.
Vernon Butler from Carolina, so they had a relationship. All right? They make – well, Mario makes about what Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson made.
Yes.
Okay? And so I'm like, let's keep it. But if you delve off into their contracts – if we decide to cut Mario, I think we'll only lose, like the Cahill only be like 13 mil. But Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson, you cut them, you're losing like 20-some million.
Right. Okay?
So that's the difference. You know, what I had like, because I love Jordan Phillips. He has the moxie. He played to the crowd, especially when we played against Miami.
Yeah.
I like that. Oh, I like when a big guy shake it. Oh, you know I like that.
Absolutely.
So I just think I questioned that. Like, I would have loved to keep him, but to see that we drafted the young boy and then we got Mario, okay, I'm ready to roll. So, no, I don't question none of the moves he make at this point, and I trust him 100%, unlike our previous regime.
I'm with you. I do. I trust him, too. Now, I was not being blasphemous. I was not questioning Brandon Bean. I was asking if you trusted Brandon Bean. How dare you turn that around on me?
Okay. Okay.
You big bastard.
I black out sometimes, man, when it comes to my Bean and McDermott, man. Because I'm just, man, hey, man, we've been to the playoffs 2 of the last 3 years, Jamie.
Right.
Did you ever, like, honestly, did you ever think we'd see the day? Because some of those days we was down in the basement, McFadden's, and we're drinking some beers, and it's 4 o'clock after a 1 o'clock beatdown, and we're watching the next game. We're just sitting there wondering, are we ever going to get out of the doldrums of sports infamy? Are we ever going to get out of this hellhole? And now I'm looking like, man, and it's like today I went and bought Madden. I'll pick it up tomorrow. And I'm like, man, I could actually get Madden and maybe I have a decent team. Maybe I could actually win some games. Because, you know, I look at my Madden team, man. I look at Buffalo like my wife, man. I don't play with other teams. I play with Buffalo. So I routinely get my butt kicked all the time because I'm so faithful to my team. You know? So I'm thinking, man, I bought the $100 version. You know, Madden costs $100 now.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's the MVP edition that you get 3 days early. It's $100. It was $105 with tax. But I'm happy. I'm gonna have it at 10 o'clock tomorrow, and I'm gonna play it all day tomorrow while drinking a little wine and fantasizing about this year's season. I'm excited, man.
Listen to you, man. I'm excited too. And you know, obviously, the season goes as Josh Allen goes. But let me throw some salary cap numbers at you right now.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Trent Murphy, $8 million.
Yep.
Patrick DeMarco, who was only on the field for 15% of the offensive snaps this past season, 1.4. Steven Hauschka, who you know they want to get rid of. We didn't talk about this at the top of the show when we were talking about training camp battles, but they spent a 6th-round draft pick on your boy Bass there because he's got that huge leg. Hauschka's making $2 million. Tyon Seki. Now, I love that guy, and I don't think anybody else on the team is equipped to be a swing tackle. But Nseki's cap hit is $3.2 million. Or that's how much the savings would be this year. Lee Smith, 1.75. TJ Yeldon, 1.1 million. If you were to cut all those guys, that would give you a cap savings of $17 million going into next year.
Right.
You know what you can do with that? You can sign Matt Milano and your entire rookie class.
And I will sacrifice all them for Milano.
You like Milano that much?
Yes, I love him.
I do too.
I love
absolutely.
Him. And so if that's what we got to do, then let's do it. You talked about DeMarco. DeMarco, he's hurt right now from what I understand. And so we got the undrafted rookie in there, and they saying that, hey, you know, once again, you can't make the team being in the medical room, so in the training room. So I don't think DeMarco's going to make it, to tell the truth.
You don't think so? Now, I know McDermott loves the guy. He's good on special teams. He's a quote-unquote leader, which McDermott loves. But, yeah, this Reggie Gillum guy, they're talking about, and not only has he been a demon on special teams all throughout, you know, college, he didn't have too many snaps offensively, but they say he can catch the ball.
Yeah.
That would add a new wrinkle.
Yeah, I heard in practice this week, man, he caught a long touchdown against one of the young linebackers. So, yeah, I mean, once again, I don't wish ill will on anybody. This, once again, is what I'm hearing, but I wouldn't be surprised if DeMarco is a casualty of the cap.
Right. Of the players that I mentioned, I think the one that's most likely to stay is Ty Nsekhe. Because, yeah, again, I don't think anybody else on the team can play left tackle if Deion Dawkins gets hurt.
In a pinch. Yep, I agree.
That's a valuable player to have. And they're paying him fringe starter money. I mean, they're paying him like $5 million. That's what they're paying Quentin Spain.
Right.
So,
yep. And you talked about Hoska, man. And I'm hearing about Hoska versus Bass, the sixth-round draft pick. And right now, I mean, it's what and what, man. And people ask, oh, can they keep two kickers? That's not going to happen.
No,
you're not
going
to keep two kickers. You don't have room to keep two kickers, especially with these young receivers we got. Like, if we have anything over, it's going to probably be the receiving core. So I think if I had to make a pick right now, I would probably think that we're going to probably keep Hauschka.
You think they're going to keep Hauschka instead of Bass, huh?
From what I hear now, let's Bass turn it up. I mean, I heard he's nailing the long ones, but he's shaking the shorter ones. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
They sound like they've both been pretty inconsistent. They both had ups and downs, and that's not what you want. And, God, it sounds like the punters have been up and down, too. Can't we just get a good punter? We got so spoiled having Brian Mormon all those years.
Oh, my man Mormon. My man Mormon.
Anyway, it seems like it's probably about time to wrap it up. I'm sure you're tired of hearing me bloviate, but I thank everybody who sat with us the entire time and listened to our maiden voyage, Jamie D and Big Newt. It was really good hanging out with you, man. This is something I'm looking forward to doing every single damn week.
Hey, man, this is a great week, man. I tell you. It's my birthday week, man. Your boy turns 47 on Thursday. I mean,
get the hell out.
Mad tomorrow. Oh, yeah, man. August 27th. I'm a Virgo.
Holy God.
I get Madden. I get Madden tomorrow, and then my birthday Thursday, and I'm going to drive to St. Louis to go visit my mom next week, and then we're going to get it geared up, man. So,
going to get yourself some ribs while you're out there?
No, man. I'm on a keto. Didn't you hear me say I'm on a keto diet, man?
Yeah, I don't know what you can and can't eat. On that.
No, I'm messing with you. No, it's no carbs. It's pretty much no carbs. So my favorite is White Castle. That's my vice. I love White Castles.
Well, you can eat White Castle without the bread.
I'll just take the bread. I don't drink the soda and don't eat the fries. I love that. So I got to figure out all that. And of course, I'm going to be with my dad in the Boom Boom Room talking sports, and he likes to drink. So I got to drink wine instead of drinking my Tito's vodka. So I got to make adjustments, man. But that's what we do. We adjust, right? We audible,
absolutely.
Man. You know, so I got to figure it out. But, yeah, I'm glad to be on, and I'm looking forward to this season. I pray that we can get this season off, and hopefully we can navigate through this COVID, man, safe.
Well, you did a great job today, man, and I've got a feeling that you're going to end up on ESPN, and I'm going to end up your, I don't know, like your valet carrying your suitcase or something. But
not going to happen, buddy. I'm loyal to the grave, man. We're a package deal, man. They want me, they got to have you. So,
well, thanks, man. Anyway, for Big Chris Newton, I'm Jamie D'Amico. We're wrapping it up. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.